Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad that you dropped in to kick off another great week. We've got an awesome trip report straight ahead. It's the best way to stay in touch with your favorite place. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. Picture this. It's early May. The weather's beautiful, most parts of the country right about now. Grab one of these great books, The Wisdom of Walt or Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, you know, to go under a tree, you know, or pop in the earbuds, listen to an audio version of each book and just escape to Walt Disney World or to Disneyland. These books cover both. And author Jeff Barnes really gives you some ideas to improve yourself. You know, Walt Disney himself was great at getting the most out of those around him. And he gives us little hints in these books to not only tie our lives into the story of what Walt Disney did to bring these experiences to life, but also how to build better relationships with those around us. So check out all the details and grab a tree, grab some lemonade, and check out one of these fine books. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For about the price of three Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of great information to keep you clear of the crowds and having fun on your next trip. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1325 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. It's back, so check it out at MagicalMouseRadio.com, where it always was. We've got everything kind of going in the right direction, so make sure you check that out this week. We're here for another trip report. It's a Monday. Let's kick this week off the right way. Hopefully you survived Cinco de Mayo over the weekend. Everybody, maybe I should talk a little quieter. You know, it's a little bit after, but we'll get through this. We're going to have a good time. We're heading up to New Hampshire, where as of the day we're recording, it was 93 degrees. I had no idea that it ever gets that warm in New Hampshire. David's joining us. David, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us, man. It was a smoker this week up in New Hampshire, apparently.
Yeah, it's been a treat after being so cold this past winter.
That's what I was going to say. It's like I was just complaining that it's been so cold for like 6 months. St. Louis has been like Hoth, you know, forever. And then all of a sudden it turned on. It's been in the upper 80s this past week. And, the weekend it was pretty nice, was in the 70s. But yeah, it's where's spring, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got a week of spring and then straight into summer, apparently.
Yeah, well, I guess there's worse things. So let's talk some Disney here. We got a couple of trips we're going to go over. First thing I want to do, though, is talk about, you know, a lot of folks write in with questions about, you know, how to find romance at Walt Disney World, you know, how to pop the question if you're down there, you know, if the situation's right. And that happened. You guys got engaged on a recent trip. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I would say I am not the one to answer that. So we, clearly I knew going into the trip that it was, I was going to pop the question, but I'd been talking with a couple coworkers of mine, before I went down about when I was going to do that. And I could never make up my mind. My original plan, we did a split stay, between Disney and Universal. And my original plan was actually to do it in front of Harry Potter's castle or Hogwarts. Because my fiance, she is obsessed with Harry Potter. And we get down there and I was thinking, okay, well, maybe let's do it in front of Cinderella's castle. Maybe I'll do it in France in front of, you know, and all of that and everything. And I kept on doubting myself. And it finally came across where like every one of these these stops kept on coming across throughout our trip. And I kept on basically getting too nervous to the point where I couldn't do it. So the first place we did was we went to Epcot first. So, I mean, I thought, okay, maybe I'll do it at France. I thought about doing it with Belle right there with us and everything because she's a huge Beauty and the Beast fan as well. So I thought that'd be sweet. And then I couldn't do it. I was nervous. I couldn't do it. I didn't think it was the right time. And we were there for the Christmas lights and everything on the Cinderella's castle. So when I saw that at night, I was like, oh, this is the perfect time. We'll get pictures done in front of it. I'll go down on one knee with the picture. And there's one point when she told me, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. No. And I was like, oh, perfect. I'll get the ring out. You go to the bathroom. I'll do this. Well, she decides not to go to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I kept on never feeling right about it. And finally, towards the end of our trip is when I finally asked her. After all of this, I ended up actually asking her in front of Hogwarts Castle, the original plan.
Nice. So, you know, here's what I would think. Okay, so if anybody's thinking of doing this, first of all, I would imagine, because as much as I love having the podcast and speaking to people all around the world, it's kind of nice because as we speak tonight, I'm sitting in the podcast studio by myself. So I'm not face to face like with the world, you know, out there watching everything like when you're on a Disney vacation or Universal. So you had a lot of people around you. So that's a lot of pressure. And I would think, too, if I was going to do this in an ideal situation, I'd like to kind of do it early in the trip so you can kind of enjoy the rest of the trip. Because I remember I'm sweating just hearing your story, because I remember when I asked Pam, you know, to marry me, we did it. And, you know, I planned out this great day. You know, we went to the little winery. It's about 5 miles from our house, not very far away. We went for a walk along the Missouri River, which is 3 minutes from our house. And we sat down and, you know, and I popped the question. It wasn't very romantic because we're sitting along the, you know, ugly, dirty Missouri River. But she said yes anyway. She felt sorry for me, I guess. Then we went on a train ride, you know, but it was one of those things like, man, I was sweating bullets the whole day. You know, I'd imagine you were kind of like that throughout the whole trip, just like, you know, wanting to do it perfectly. But I mean, I would think you would ideally like to do this early so you could just kind of celebrate the rest of the trip.
Yeah. So without getting into too much detail, because I'm sure we'll do that in a little bit. Every day I had at least one idea of when I wanted to do it. And each day it would get closer to the when I was thinking about doing it. And then I was like, okay, am I going to do it tonight? But I was trying to make it the right point. Mm-hmm. But it every time that those points came up that I had an idea, it never felt right until it was finally my original idea of doing it in front of a Hogwarts castle.
Yeah, if it was me, it probably ended up like at Casey's over some corn dog nuggets. Because I'm like, you know what? We're going home tomorrow. We got to accomplish the mission. You know, that's how my life usually goes. So anyway, let's talk about the trip in general. So you did a split between Coronado Springs and Royal Pacific over at Universal. So why did you choose those two resorts? You know, what was it that drew you into both of those places to stay?
So, like I said, we had done a trip back in February where we had actually stayed in Pop Century for a week. And we had a okay experience at Pop Century where we enjoyed the resort, but we had a lot of, there was a lot of, Quinceañero, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. 15-year-old girls everywhere.
Yeah, there was a ton of them there. So we didn't want to stay at one of the value resorts again, just in case something like that. We kind of wanted to up our stay a little bit. So we looked at the moderates and everything. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Originally, our trip was actually booked for February again. So we're making it a annual thing of going in February. And what ended up happening is we found out actually my fiance is pregnant back in very late October. So I think it was October 26th. I ended up switching the trip from February to the second week of November. So November 14th, I think it was.
Wow.
Or 11th. Yes, 11th. It was November 11th. So when I was looking at the moderate resorts and everything, unfortunately, Coronado Springs was one of the only ones available as well.
You know, that's not a bad place to land, though. That's one of my favorites. I mean, it really is. And how did you feel though? Because I know with Disney fans, we tend to thrive on the planning. You know, I have 180 days. I'm going to make my ADR 60 fast passes. You had to take it from, you know, a long time to wait for the trip, and all of a sudden we're going really soon. So how did you feel about that short-term turnaround on the trip?
I hated it. I'm a planner. So I had just started planning our ADRs and our others, or I had just finished planning all that, getting everything out. I felt like I had, some of the must do, or, you know, the ones that a lot of people had. Like I had, dinner at, why can't I think of the name of it? We had dinner on top overlooking the California Grill.
California Grill. Yeah, Pam's going to yell at you. That's her favorite place to eat. You know, she'll catch up with you.
We had dinner reservations for there right at the fireworks, so we thought it was perfect. We had, you know, we originally had some dinner reservations at Victoria and Albert's. Like, we had all these, like, wonderful, like, small little things, and then when we ended up changing it, we had to change it completely around.
That's a struggle. I mean, I could understand, because you've already put in the work, you know, and I think that's what you got to think about when you're going on a Disney vacation, that when you get down there, it's all the fun and games, but the successful Walt Disney World vacations have all that work on the front side, and you'd already done it and you didn't get a chance to kind of glean, you know, the rewards from all that. So I could imagine it was a little bit of a frustration for somebody like you.
Yeah. I mean, I would never say that my trip was, I loved every second of my trip. It was just knowing some of the things that we still want to do and that we actually had planned to do. It was a little bit of a disappointment going, oh, now we can't do them, but we'll be able to do other things instead. It opened up new opportunities, which was great, but now we still want to do those things that we didn't get to do.
Awesome. So let's jump in, because we got a lot to get in here in about 30 minutes. So Coronado Springs, you ended up there because, you know, availability was limited because you're doing a last minute trip. Pros and cons of staying at Coronado for you over Pop Century.
Overall, we really enjoyed Coronado Springs. We loved it. It's a little bit bigger of a resort. We felt it was, we just felt more at home, I guess, at Coronado Springs. We enjoyed the resort more. Me being, you know, I love Mexican food. So,
hey, you're talking to a guy that loves his Mexican food as well.
Yep. So, like, the Pepper Market, just having being able to have, you know, the tacos or the burritos and stuff like that there, that was fantastic. The pool there, I'm not sure how many people have been there, but I highly suggest it. It's one of the nicer pools that I've seen. And just in general, they had a couple small little things going on. I mean, there was the construction that was going on where they're building that 15-story tower. They had just started it. I think they were on, like, floor three or something like that. And they were painting our building. So that was a little bit of a downside. But overall, we really enjoyed Coronado Springs.
Yeah, it's a hit. I was just there a couple weeks back. And, you know, the tower's going up, and it's at its maximum height at this point. I think they've kind of finished all the framing, you know, or whatever. They got all the, you know, it's as high as it's going to get. Now they're filling it in with all the stuff on the inside. But it really doesn't affect anything. So I was running each morning, and I could run a full, you know, loop around the resort, no problem at all. Now, I know that the dig site pool is going down in the fall a little bit for some construction or for some refurbishment. So that's going to be something. But there's great quiet pools all around the resort in each one of the areas, you know, the ranchos, the casitas, and the cabanas. So you have lots of options there. And like you said, the food can't be beat. I hate to say that I pick a resort on the food, but I, you know, that weighs heavily. So now you guys went to Disney first, correct? Is it? And then you went over to Universal?
Correct. We did Disney, November 11th through the 16th. And then we did, Universal from the 16th. That's when the day we transferred to Universal. And then from the 16th to the 19th, I believe.
Awesome. So let's get some of the highlights here for about 10 minutes of the Walt Disney World stay. I know you guys, you mentioned you went to some, you know, you still got some pretty decent meals while you were there. I see in the notes here. You know, what other experiences did you have in the theme parks? How did you guys tour? What were the crowds like? What was your overall impression of the Walt Disney World portion of the trip?
So we only did three parks this time because it was our second time going this year. So we actually only did Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Magic Kingdom. We started off at Animal Kingdom after our travel day. We don't like to go to any parks the day we travel. So the second day that we were there, we went to Animal Kingdom. We had reservations. I never ended up getting fast passes for Flight of Passage or the Navi River Journey. So what we ended up doing was we ended up going there for rope drop and rope dropping them. Which when we first got there, that line seemed like the longest line I've ever seen. I mean, they had you winding from way over near Tusker House all the way through. And it was incredibly like how they had it all set up. That being said, it also went very quickly. It ended up being like a 45-minute wait, which was incredible because anybody that hasn't been on it, I highly suggest Flight of Passage. It's by far my favorite ride at Disney now.
I love hearing that. So many people really, because it's not really my thing. I mean, I'll ride it, you know, and I enjoy it, but it's still, it doesn't fall into my top 10. But so many people say number one on the list. And that's what I love about Walt Disney World is that so many people find something that they love and it can be different for everybody. And this is definitely a popular ride. I mean, in a way, I'm kind of glad because with the waits and how hard it is to get the fast passes, I'm like, whew, dodge the bullet on that one because, you know, I don't have to worry so much. But yeah, everybody tends to. What's your favorite thing about it? What makes it stand out to be a really good attraction for you?
Well, we were already huge fans of the one at Epcot. Why can't I think of the name?
Oh, Soarin'.
Soarin', thank you. We were already huge fans of Soarin'. And I'm a huge fan of Avatar as well. So, I mean, between those two things, it just made it that much better. Plus, I think it being the 4D that it is as well, you know, without spoiling too much for people that haven't been on it, you know, feeling some of the things that you feel when you go on that ride, it made it that, you know, it went from just a normal ride to over the top. And I really enjoyed that. Overall, we're a little bit more of a thrill ride people. While we enjoy the other small ones, we enjoy the thrill rides a little bit more. And this one's a little bit more on the thrill ride aspect of it. So I think that also played a part into it as well.
Awesome. So now, before we started recording, we're just kind of you know, talking over some of your experiences. And you mentioned that when you went down to Pop Century in February, that you guys tend to be folks that like to stay in a park for the full day and kind of experience it land by land and explore. And, you know, to me, I was joking with you because I said, oh, wow, you guys tour like the 1980s or like the parks were supposed to be toured. You know, that's how the Imagineers want you to see the parks. Nowadays, you know, we have a 10-minute attention span. You got to go to four parks in a day and go to a water park at the end of the day. You know, it's a mess because we're trying to see everything so quickly. Where you guys kind of get a deep dive into the parks, it seems like. So did you do that as well in November?
Yes, we did. So, like I said, we at Animal Kingdom, we rope dropped Flight of Passage. I think we moved over. We got some drinks at Satouli Canteen, that drink stand that's right next to Satouli Canteen. And then we walked over to Navi River Journey. We tried to jump in line with that one really quick, but that one was already incredibly long wait. So we decided to wait on that one. And then we walked around. We went straight to the safari. And then we just kind of walked around for a while looking at different things. We ended up doing the birds or flights of pet, not flights of passage, the flights of wonder, bird show. And then we ended up having, we had lunch at Tusker House. It was our first time there and it was fantastic. It was one of the best meals of the entire trip. I highly suggest it to anybody that wants to do that. Then we walked around. We went to go on what is the name of the ride? The raft one.
Cali River Rapids.
I'm having trouble with names today.
I got to stay on my A game here. You know, it's Travel Agent Appreciation Day, so I got to be on my A game today as we record. Oh. So
that's perfect. Perfect. but yeah, so we went on Cali River Rapids. Then we went on Everest. Because we had done a trip earlier in the year, we were focusing a lot also on the picture locations. So anytime there was somebody taking a picture or a character meet and greet, we stopped and we waited in line there as well. So we got so many pictures this past time that we went.
So did you guys have annual passes or member maker? One of those, because that makes it totally worth it.
Yeah, we bought Memory Maker this past time. I wish we had, if we had known we were going to be going a second time in a year, I probably would have gotten the annual passes. Unfortunately, this being a last minute trip, it didn't happen.
Next year, that's a, what you gotta say, you know, or the next time, you know, you just got to consider it ahead of time. So, I want to get all this stuff because I want to ask you about, you guys, you mentioned you had Tusker House, and let me just mention to anybody that's listening today, great meal, great interaction. It's a great buffet, and it's also something you can get at the last minute. So when you can't find anything else, go to Tusker House. You won't be disappointed. So put that in your memory bank there. But you also ate at Jico, it looks like, over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I just ate there for the first time a couple weeks ago. Never been there. So tell me about your meal there so I can kind of bounce some ideas off you. I loved it, but what'd you think?
So we had heard great things about Jico. So unfortunately, we ended up missing the River Lights because we had the ADRs at Jico. That's something we now have to go back and see. But we love Jico. My fiance, Taryn, she ended up getting a steak, a filet, I believe, there. And it was fantastic. I ended up getting the lamb because I absolutely love lamb. And I thought it was... I didn't end up finishing it all because we had Tusker House earlier in the day, but it was amazing. I was very impressed.
Nice. I also had the filet, and if I was single, I would have married it. It had macaroni and cheese with it. That's the one that's legendary.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that macaroni and cheese.
So good. I don't even know what kind of cheese that was. It was like some kind of illegal drug or something, I think, sprinkled on there. Oh, man. It was so good. And then my buddy Steve Baker from the Magic for Less, he also had the lamb, and he was singing the praises down at the other end of the table as well. So it was hitting. The atmosphere in there was very cool. I mean, it was... Obviously, it's a signature restaurant. It's very chill, but it wasn't stuffy at all. You know, like we were laughing and carrying on and having a good time. They're bringing around the wine. I mean, you know, I'm not really a signature restaurant kind of guy. So sometimes I feel intimidated to go in a place like that, but it wasn't like that at all. It was a very authentic feeling, but it was comfortable too.
That's exactly the way we felt as well. We were a little bit worried because it was our first time at a signature restaurant. So, you know, we had read that, you need to wear, you know, change it's not normal dress, I guess. You know, it says you have to wear a button-up shirt and everything. And while we follow those guidelines, we didn't feel that was necessary. It kind of felt more laid back than it seemed like it was going to be, which we felt even more comfortable being in what we were in, which was even better.
All right. So let me ask you about one more restaurant you had, because this one, you know, it's in the Magic Kingdom, and I bet you most people, if I asked you to name five restaurants from the Magic Kingdom, most people would never hit this one. Skipper Canteen. I think this one's so hit or miss for people. So what were your thoughts on that dining location?
Based on the locations I've been to at the Magic Kingdom, it's probably actually my favorite. I've been to Be Our Guest, and I wasn't impressed. I thought it was okay. We've been to a couple of the other quick service locations, but we were very impressed with Skipper Canteen. We had a great meal, and it didn't really have much of a wait because, like you said, I don't think a lot of people think of it or know of it, but it is very underrated. It was one of our top, you know, between Tusker House, Skipper Canteen, and Citrico's, it's at Jico. We had a lot of good food. I don't know what I'm kidding.
That's why we go. That's exactly it. That's why I run, to have all these good meals. So you guys were there, you know, in November during, you said that the Christmas lights were on and so forth. So you're there as the holidays are kicking off. Did you do anything differently because it was the holiday season? I mean, obviously it sounds like you took advantage of seeing the castle lights and so forth, but how did that kind of change your trip for that time of year?
Yeah. So one of my thoughts of when I was going to propose was we took an off day in the middle of our trip as well, where we ended up resort hopping. And part of our goal with resort hopping was to see all the different Christmas stuff at all the different resorts. So we ended up starting at the at the Polynesian. We walked around the Polynesian. They didn't unfortunately have much going on. So then we ended up later at the Grand Floridian looking at the gingerbread house and all of that stuff. We contemplated doing the Christmas party. We just by the time that it was going on, we had dinner at Citrico's that night. By the time it was done and everything, we just didn't feel it was too late to do it. And we didn't previously have tickets and everything. So we just decided not to. But in general, I wouldn't say it influenced our trip, even though it kind of did. We just kind of wanted to see how the resorts and everything were decorated for it.
That's a good tip, though, because, you know, it's one of those things that you don't have to pay extra to kind of go around and see the decorations and see how, you know, like the Polynesian, even though they don't go all out, you kind of see some of the, you know, the flair they put up for the, you know, the Christmas time and you know, the Pacific and stuff like that. So good tip there. And the you know, a lot of, unfortunately nowadays, though, with the parties, they sell out so quickly, even most dates, that you got to be a little planning ahead on those. But if you could just do it last minute, you know, and take it or leave it how you're feeling that night, that's a good point. So let me ask you one other thing. I want to ask you, though, real quick about, you guys were there in February, you're there in November. So all things considered, because this is one of the biggest questions that we get on the podcast, is like, when should we go? So which time is better? If everything was equal, like say you had the same resort both times, you know, considering weather, crowds, you know, you had the holiday stuff in November. Which one would you pick? Say prices were equal, everything was equal. Which time would be better for you?
This is a little bit tricky. I would say for Disney, we had a slightly better trip in February. The crowd seemed to be a little bit lower in February. It just seemed a little bit. It was when we went, it was during the arts festival at Epcot. So there's still a festival going on, and it seemed a little bit easier to go. Whereas this time when we went, all the parks at Disney seemed to be quite busy every day that we went. For example, Epcot, while to be expected, we ended up going to Epcot on the last day of the Food and Wine Festival. So of course, you know, Epcot's going to be incredibly busy. We ended up going to the Magic Kingdom on the day that it was also Magic Hours. So unfortunately, that was incredibly busy as well. And then the day we went to Animal Kingdom, again, it felt incredibly busy as well. So I would say I would suggest February based on my trips.
All right, good tip. So I want to head over to Universal here in just a minute, just to hear about Royal Pacific and how it compares going from Walt Disney World over to Universal. But before we do that, any other highlights that you want to throw in from the Walt Disney portion of the trip? Any special moments that we haven't talked about or anything that we've missed before we head across town?
Yeah, so probably my favorite part of the trip didn't even involve, and this is surprising knowing me, didn't even involve going to the parks. We, on our off day, like I said, we ended up resort hopping. We did the monorail, all the monorail resorts. We were going to jump on a boat and do all those, but we ended up running out of time. But we ended up, you know, going around the Contemporary, looking at all the Christmas decorations and just kind of like checking it out, doing all that. Then we went over to the Polly's, got some drinks at the Polly, or I should say I got some drinks. She didn't. at the Polly, at Trader Sam's, and which is a fantastic little show. I can't even describe it that they do there. And then we ended up sitting on the beach at the Polly for a little bit, kind of just enjoying our night. And that to me was just like such a romantic like moment and everything. And which ironically was one of the times when I was thinking about doing it or as popping the question.
Oh man, the pressure. I can just feel the pressure on this whole trip for you. I feel bad for you. Like all the time you're like, is now the time? No, yes. Yeah. No. It's like that internal conflict.
I had the ring cause I carry a backpack with me the entire time. I had the ring on me the entire time without even her even knowing. And I think that was another part. If I just left the ring somewhere in the resort, I probably wouldn't have had this pressure, but I had it on me the entire time.
Well, plus too, like going through security in the theme parks, you know, like they're always searching your bags and stuff.
We will get to that at Universal. Just you wait.
Oh my gosh, because they're rooting through everything. Well, at least Universal, they x-ray things. Anyway, so, okay, let's head over to Universal. Let's leave Walt Disney World because we don't have a whole lot of time left. I want to get into this. So you stayed at Royal Pacific, which I got to tour. I stayed at Cabana Bay when I was there a couple weeks ago for the first time, but we got to tour all the resorts. And if I were to pick, because I was telling myself when I get to stay here with my family, because I'm a Polynesian fan, I just can't really afford the Polynesian at Walt Disney World right now where I am with the kid in college. Royal Pacific felt very much like the Poly to me. I mean, it had that kind of vibe, and you get the express pass if you stay there. So is that why you landed there? Why'd you pick Royal Pacific?
We picked Royal Pacific for the express pass. That's the best way of putting it. Out of the three resorts at Universal that you get the express pass with, the Portofino Bay, the Hard Rock, and the Royal Pacific, the Royal Pacific was one that called our name the most, because the Poly is the place that we would like to go. It's just like you said, I can't justify necessarily paying the prices of the Poly sometimes for a place that we generally don't stay at our resort very often. We kind of just have it as a place to rest our head. So I just generally can't justify sometimes paying the prices of some of the deluxe resorts when basically I'm going to be there for 7 hours a day, you know?
Yep. And you're going to be asleep. Everything looks the same when your eyes are closed.
Yeah, exactly. So the Royal Pacific, though, it was amazing. It was beautiful. The rooms were absolutely gorgeous. We got upgraded to club level as well. So that was even better. The Jake's restaurant down at the bottom was incredible as well. We went there for dinner one night. I can't say enough about the Royal Pacific. It made our trip.
Wow, that's a rave review there. Yeah, I really kind of, because we went through all of them. We went through Sapphire Falls, Portofino, Hard Rock, and they all had their, they're all like, when I was in them, I was like, oh, this place is so cool, like Hard Rock. Like, they'll bring you a guitar to your room. You can play a guitar, like on an amp. I'm like, with the headphones. I was like, that rocks, I'll stay here. And then we go to Portofino. It's like, I feel like I'm in Europe. I'm in Italy. I'm staying here. And then I was like, I think Royal Pacific's more my vibe. Actually, Cabana Bay is probably more my personality, but I want the Express Pass. You're right, because you feel like a rock star. You get spoiled once you have it once. Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
So that Express Pass was amazing too. I can't speak enough for that too.
Well, I'd imagine too, when you're doing a split like this with Walt Disney World going to Universal, that really kind of took the pressure off, because not only is Universal smaller with the two dry parks and Volcano Bay, but and you can walk everywhere. Everything's walkable. Yep. It's kind of people compared to Disneyland. But I'm sure it was kind of more laid back, and it was kind of like, whew, now we can just kind of chill a little bit, right?
It very much was. So we switched on a Thursday, and we ended up doing Universal Studios on that Thursday that we switched. And I assumed we had enough time to do it with the Express Passes and everything. And we did, don't get me wrong, we did the entire park in the day that we had, but it was actually very, very dead. I mean, we felt like, at least on that Thursday, we felt like we were one of 100 people in that park.
You never feel that at Walt Disney World. Let's get
no,
let's
not get that not at all. It was such an odd feeling walking from the big Rip Ride coaster to Harry Potter, and basically the only people you see are the actual people working there, the cast members.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really not even exaggerating. It was the weirdest thing walking from certain rides when you walk up to a line and go, okay, I have the Fest Pass, and everybody's like, okay, you're the only person on the ride anyways.
You get this whole train. You get to go to the Hogwarts Express. You can drive if you want to. But so what were some of your favorite things at Universal? Being a Disney fan, going over there, I know it sounds dumb, but I enjoyed E.T. Like that felt like a combination of like Peter Pan and Little Mermaid. It felt like a Disney attraction to me, where some of the other things didn't,
I had mixed feelings about Universal in general. I thought the rides themselves were themed pretty well, I thought Universal felt mismatched theming wise. It didn't feel as cohesive as like Disney or anything. That being said, I really enjoyed the theming at Isles of Adventure. Walking through the different lands, you actually felt like you're walking through different lands. I'm not a huge fan of those the type of rides, like such as the like the Spider-Man ride or the Jimmy Fallon ride. I'm not a huge fan of those ones. They start getting me, I never knew this until this trip. They started getting me motion sickness, I guess. Mm-hmm. So by the time the ride was done, I was like, okay, I need to get off.
Yeah, so, I hear you, because actually when I was there that day, because we were there for a couple days and, doing training, so we were on the VIP tour, so we backdoored into every attraction that we wanted to. But I sat out on Spider-Man. I sat out on Fallon. I sat out on, let's see, they did Simpsons. You know, it's just because I am not a screen person. That'll mess me up. I can't even do Star Tours at the studios, and that kills me because I love Star Wars. So, yeah, there was a lot of sitting out. And I had a good time on the stuff that I did. Now, you know, I enjoyed just being there with friends, and the environment was fun. But I'm kind of with you. Like, at Walt Disney World, there's very, very few things I will not or cannot do. And at Universal, I found more and more of that happening for me.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. And it's sad for me because I'm a huge ride person. So when it started doing that, I was like, wow, I guess I can't do these things as much as anymore. but I mean, I realized it. And honestly, I'm not too disappointed as well. I still enjoyed myself. Like, I still enjoyed the coasters that they had and everything. It was just those screen rides with the 4D cart and that they have. It just was affecting me. Strangely, I guess.
Did you get a chance to go on the Mummy? I thought the Mummy was well done. That was a cool coaster.
Yeah, for some reason that was one that didn't really affect me, and it was one of our last rides of the day. I think we actually ended up doing it twice. We ended up doing it on our walk through, and then we ended up coming back and trying it again.
Nice. All right, so yeah. I want to make sure we get to this because we are running a little bit short on time, and I want to hear the big build-up of the show here. You know, it happened over at Universal, and you're carrying around the ring, and you're going through security. So walk us through the big moment of the entire trip here.
So Universal, they do their security a little bit different. They make you go through the metal detectors no matter what, and they kind of wand you down and everything. So I ended up, the day of, or the Thursday, like I said, going through security, going through everything fine. But then Friday, the day I ended up asking her, I ended up going through security, getting all of that done. And then the first ride that we went on was the Hulk coaster.
Yep, and you gotta do it again.
For those that don't know, you have to completely empty your pockets out of everything. They also metal detect you there. And if you go off at all, they make you take everything out. So I had it with my wallet in my back pocket because I wasn't willing to put it in one of those free lockers that they provide. So I tried to like kind of maneuver it, but again, the metal detector went off. So I hit it kind of funky and everything. But unfortunately, little did I know at the time, she ended up seeing the ring box at that time. So they kind of like were like, they saw what I was doing and everything and was like, okay, don't worry about it. Just button up your pockets. Cause I had button up pockets. And they're like, button up your pockets. You're fine. And let me go. But like I said, little did I know what, after I asked her, I was like, can you marry me? So like I said, that was the first ride that we went on the day. We ended up walking around the rest of the park all the way up until Hogwarts Castle. Towards the end of the day, and I ended up asking her in front of Hogwarts Castle. I ended up asking somebody that was on that bridge overlooking Hogwarts Castle if they could take our picture. And what I did was I ended up going down on one knee while they were taking the picture.
Oh, well done. Well done. And that's so, you know what? And I'm not a Harry Potter person. I don't know the stories and all that because I just haven't gotten myself involved in, the stories, but that land is amazing looking. It's so incredible. I'm sure the picture's amazing.
It is incredible. I would say the one thing that he didn't like, or I should say we didn't like in general about Universal, we ended up getting the photo pass for Universal as well. Unlike Disney, they do not have enough people taking pictures. It was one of those things I knew about this kind of bridge going over, looking back into Harry Potter Land or the Hogwarts Castle. I knew that it was there, even though I hadn't been there before. And I kind of expected, I thought there would be like a picture person taking pictures there. But there wasn't anybody, which was kind of disappointing. But luckily, somebody was friendly enough where we asked them to take our picture with our phone. And they did so we got some pictures that way.
Good stuff. So it just sounds like, everything built up. And I guess you enjoyed the rest of the day, I'd imagine that it happened at the end of the trip. But, what a way to kind of put together an awesome, awesome vacation there.
Yeah, it capped out the trip, and I'm glad it happened that way. She was more than ecstatic with the way it happened. I mean, I talked to her about it afterwards. I'm like, this is what happened. I wanted to do it in front of Belle. I wanted to do it this. And she was just laughing at me going, I couldn't have happened any better way. So I'm glad it happened the way it did. but like I said, she ended up seeing the ring box then. So I was like, oh, did you know? And she's like, well, I didn't. And then I did.
Yeah, you know what? I think they just have pity on us is what it boils down to.
Oh, definitely. I know that's true.
So, all right. So before we get out of here, I know that you're, always thinking about the next trip and, you're going to have a baby with you the next time you guys head down. So what are the plans for the next time to head down to Central Florida?
Yeah. So the next time we go, we plan on doing, a pretty long trip, and we're going to probably rent DVC points from somebody. I don't know where exactly. Probably I'm going to go for the Poly just because we had such a good experience at the Royal Pacific, which is a similar resort. So we're going to try and go for the Poly and just kind of do a big trip, take it as slow as possible, do maybe a half day at a park and then come back, do pool days a little bit more. I've been just listening from people doing that more. It seems like more my pace these days.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've been a park warrior the past couple times that I've been. So I think, I'm going to try and take it a little bit slower and do, see everything I possibly could see.
Easy to say now. I can tell you because we're going down for the Toy Story opening and we're going to push through the 4th of July. And because we have some friends whose daughter is performing down at Walt Disney World, our trip is now extending out 13 nights. So,
wow.
You know what? I say that we're going to take it. Well, I tagged on a value resort for the last 3 nights. So we could watch this little girl dance. But I say that we're going to take it easy because, like, 13 nights, we're going to have days we don't even go to the parks, whatever. I'll get down there and I'll be like, let's go. We've only gone to 2 parks today. Let's get up. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I
completely agree. I say that now, and I know by the time it actually comes down to it, I'll probably be like, all right, I have this plan for this ADR and this fast pass and this one here and this there. And I'll be like, oh, well, I never took a day off.
Yep. Well, hey, David, I appreciate you taking the time to kick off the week with us. Congratulations on the engagement. And thanks for sharing that story with us today. And we'll have to get together and talk about the next trip, because I'm sure there'll be more adventures ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible. And you know what? They have touring plans for Universal as well. Walt Disney World and Disneyland's where they cut their teeth and they just know what's going on. So if you want to cut up to 4 hours in line each day of your vacation, touringplans.com. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here. Also, check out the great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, and Jeff Barnes' newest book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, which focuses on Walt Disney World and how Walt Disney got the best out of those around him, how he inspired people, made people work like a team, and also how he took the ideas of Disneyland and shifted them to the East Coast down to Central Florida. So check out these books. You can get audio versions, you can get ebooks, and you can even get that old, it's paper. You can get a paper book, too. And you can even get it signed by author Jeff Barnes. Check it out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Check out the show on the social media. We love talking with you. So drop us a line at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. And drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Well, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thanks for kicking off the week with us. We appreciate it. We hope you have a great one. So for David, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome week. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.